Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this November 18th, 2022. It is 11:06 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 10:30, we're going to welcome in Terry Whitmore from the Nakusa Public Schools District. He is the district administrator over there. Looking forward to talking with him. Right now, we have on the phone State Senator Patrick Teston. Good morning, sir.
Hey, James. How are you?
Doing good. How you been?
Well, I can't complain. I'm actually excited. Our furnace went out 2.5 days ago, so we're getting a new one in today, so I'm looking forward to having heat again back in the house.
The older we get, isn't it funny the things we get excited about, isn't it? Just, you know, heat is a good thing, obviously, but just, you know, the things you get excited for. It's interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially right now, it's a balmy 50 degrees in my house, so yeah. It's looking forward to getting the thermostat back up.
Can imagine. So I also can imagine that, you know, most anybody, whether you're running for office or not, you get out of the political season, if you will, election time, and can be a bit of a relief. You can kind of get back to focusing on the task at hand, that sort of thing. So certainly while you weren't running in this most recent election, I did want to talk to you a little bit about it, sir, because really interesting things coming across in the election results. As the midterm results, like, rolled in, and we saw more and more Democrats and Republican candidates were looking to celebrate historic victories, especially in diversity. House Republicans will add a new member of color to their conference, including John James, who will be the first Black Republican congressman from Michigan. Juan Siscomani will be the first Latino representative for the Arizona Congress, and many others. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, for example, and some other ones. Maura Healey, Tina Kotek, a lot of different people, a lot of different representation. Nancy Pelosi, wrapping up her House speakership, mentioned in her speech how when she started, there was about 20 women in there. Now there's 90. When it comes to all of this, just looking at politics as a kind of a big picture thing, this can only make our country stronger. Isn't that the case?
Yeah, I think so. And I that's the beauty of our system, is that every 2 years, you know, we have the ability to elect representatives at every level of government, whether it's at, you know, president, U.S. Senate, governor, Congress, all the way down to state legislature and even local offices. So, you know, we have the opportunity in these elections to represent to get new individuals elected who represent our values and our beliefs, and to have that cross-section of diversity that reflects the nation at large. And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because even I'm really excited, too, with the election of Congressman-elect Derek Van Orden. You know, first time we've had a new representative for the 3rd Congressional District in over 26 years. And, you know, it was certainly a hard-fought campaign. And like I told Congressman-elect, you know, now that the dust has settled, it's time to, you know, put on our policy caps and get to work for the people that we represent. And, you know, he seems to be doing that right now as he's out in D.C. getting acquainted and adjusted to life inside the Beltway, and then even down to Madison. We've got a lot of new faces that are going to be coming into both the state assembly as well as the state senate. I actually had to chuckle. I'm at 34 years of age. I feel like a senior statesman right now, because we've had so much turnover in just the 6 years that I've been in the legislature. I'm one of the guys that you can say has been on the block now, which is kind of hard to believe. And so I'm actually looking forward to it. You know, on Monday or the Thursday after the election, I was elected unanimously once again by the Senate Republican caucus to serve as the Senate President Pro Tem. And on Monday, I'll be going back down to Madison to meet with Majority Leader Devin Lemieux to discuss committee assignments. And my hope is I want to remain the Health Committee Chair. And then I think there's also a good chance that I may find myself on the Joint Finance Committee, which would be, I think, a huge asset to central and western Wisconsin as we go into this next budget, especially looking at what's going to be anywhere between to a $5 to $6 billion surplus.
When mentioning some of these people here, one of them that I'd be remiss if I did not mention is the young gentleman Maxwell Frost, who is the first Gen Zer member of Congress. You mentioned somebody, you know, like a Van Orden, and I'm mentioning somebody like Maxwell Frost. So we're seeing a different collection of people that are coming into the ranks here. when you talk to your constituents all the time, you're talking to young, old people all over, but I keep coming back to seeing young people getting more and more involved in the political game. Used to be, you know, it was around your age, maybe in your 30s, that you started getting much more invested in politics, getting onto boards, you know, and maybe even running for a representative or mayor or something like that. But this younger generation, they're not waiting. They're coming in. They're coming right now, and they're going to get things done. Do you hear that from your constituents, that if, when you're talking to young people, that yes, they're engaged, they're involved, or are you seeing mostly that it's just a couple of outliers here that are doing this?
No, I think more and more young people are realizing and waking up to the fact that what happens in places like Madison, D.C., and even at the local level can have direct impacts on their daily lives. And so I think it's encouraging any time when young people get involved in the process and step up the run. And win or lose, you know, it takes a lot of courage to put your name on the ballot. I can remember the first time I ran for office. I was 23 at the time when I ran for the state assembly in 2012. And actually 22, I was 22 at the time. And, you know, it was quite the experience. And it ignited, even though I wasn't successful in that, it ignited a fire in me and a passion to keep going and stay involved. And, you know, it landed me into the state Senate at the age of 28.
When it comes to here in Wisconsin, with the recent election, of course, Governor Evers gets reelected, and we have Governor Johnson, Representative Johnson, also getting back into office. We've kind of talked about this as a nation already and looked at it, and all the pundits have talked about this. Wisconsin is looking more and more like it's back to being a purple state. You and I have talked about this quite a bit as far as divisive politics and the extremes of these things. I have to say, you bring up somebody like Derek Van Orton, and he has seemed to me as an extreme on the right side of things, much more than some like yourself and everything do. But we're seeing less and less of the people on the extremes, both right and left. It is not just a one-sided thing. Both parties have this. Less and less of those people being in Congress, in the Senate, that. It seems like we're getting more and more away from a divisive politics. It's hard to say that coming out of this most recent turn of events and everything with the attack ads being bigger and more money being spent on it than ever, but we're seeing more and more that those are not working. People are not listening to that. People, the election deniers, a lot of these things, they're not getting reelected. Their own party is not looking to support those causes, those things. Do you think we're getting closer and closer to that? I don't want to say that it's ever going to be a rainbow perfect world where everybody holds hands or anything, but where we can get some stuff done, where the two sides are going to work together a little bit more.
Well, I would hope so. I mean, especially when you take a look, you know, both the midterms at the national level, where kind of a split decision. Obviously, the red wave wasn't as profound as many pundits had said it was going to be in the lead up to November 8th. And so as a result, you know, Republicans have a slim majority in the U.S. House. And, you know, depending on what happens with the Georgia Senate runoff, likely you're going to have a 50-50 control of the U.S. Senate with President Kamala Harris being the tiebreaker. And here at the state level, I mean, we have a supermajority in the state Senate. The Assembly Republicans picked up two seats, just too shy of a veto-proof majority. But yet, Governor Evers won his re-election. So again, we're going to have split government. And so I think that's going to be the decision that we're going to have to make as within our respective houses is, okay, obviously, you know, voters have chosen us to be back, but they also chose Governor Evers to be back. And so I do think we're going to have to find some areas of common ground and some potential compromise that won't necessarily backslide any progress that this state has made in the last decade as it relates to tax reform and some other critical reforms that have, in my opinion, have been for the betterment of the state. But you know, that's what's unique about Wisconsin is that our politics, our electorate is a lot like our weather, where I've had conversations with individuals, you know, they voted for Ron Johnson and they voted for Tony Evers. Mm-hmm. And you sit there and scratch your head. You wonder how, because they're two polar opposite individuals from different ends of the political spectrum. But I think at the end of the day, it boils down to, in Wisconsin, people look past the R or D behind someone's name, and they vote for the quality of the person. And that's where, as I often tell people, strength of candidates and candidate quality are far greater than you know, party identification.
I agree with you, and we've talked about that a number of times, how important I think that is to getting away from that and everything. But I as a citizen of the state, I look at the last couple of years, I see the results, I see what's going on here, and I worry, how are we going to get anything done? You know, the governor wants to do this thing, the House wants to do this thing, and we've seen this over the last couple of years. Not a lot gets done. How can we feel confident that, hey, we've got issues in this state? You know, our officials that were elected, they're going to make sure to take care of us. They're going to get this stuff done. They're going to listen to us and everything. It's kind of hard to, you know, realistically look at it and think, oh, well, you know, things are going to, we're back to being a purple state, so things are going to get better, or we're going to be able to keep doing what we've been doing. What would you tell the dismayed voter out there when it comes to that?
Well, first and foremost, I would say there has to be communication between the governor and legislative leadership, which there just has not been any communication. And so I know recently Majority Leader Lemieux was on Capital City Sunday and was asked that very question, you know, what's next between the relationship between the governor and the legislature, and knowing that there hasn't been a lot of back and forth. And, you know, Leader Lemieux basically said, look, I'm going to reach out to the governor and see if we can sit down and chat and figure out where we go from here, because I think the idea of gridlock for another 4 years where we just lock horns and not a lot get done is probably not going to be palatable for a lot of people in this state. And what really concerns me is that there are some significant issues out there that need to be addressed. One in particular, I mean, just today, DHS put out a report as it relates to the number of opioid overdoses that we had here in this state. And we had 1,427 overdose deaths here in the state of Wisconsin. And 91% of those were caused by fentanyl. That's a 16% increase over the previous record year. So these are some of the issues that we really need to roll up our sleeves and tackle, because if we're not getting in front of these things, it's going to cause a lot of problems. And, you know, as it relates specifically to overdose deaths, a lot of broken families and communities as a result of it. And so we need to put our heads together to address this and work with our federal delegation to get a handle on this, especially at the southern border. So that way these drugs aren't coming into our communities like Wisconsin Rapids, like Stevens Point, and destroying families.
Well, and certainly attacking those situations where they, you know, they really are, and not just looking at talking points too. You mentioned at the southern border, you have the stats right in front of me of the how many Americans are bringing fentanyl into this country. They are not illegal immigrants. So I mean, focusing on where these things are really happening as well is key to this whole figuring this stuff out too. And when it comes to issues in the state, as you mentioned, there are some big ones, and they're all big ones. There's no small issues in our state. In our country right now, childcare is a huge one right now, and I did want to flip to this really quick because I don't think a lot of people have heard about the new state grant program that's looking to test this. Wisconsin employers continue to struggle to recruit and retain workers. The State Department of Children and Families announced that 88 more businesses across the state will receive a grant from the Partner Up program. That $10 million grant program, funded by the Federal American Reserve Plan Act, will allow employees to cover the cost of childcare for their employees and children for 1 year. We also seen recently Quick Trip opened a new child care center. More and more businesses are taking it on themselves to kind of take care to attack this situation, child care in our country. What are you guys and your colleagues doing to attack this situation?
Yeah, I mean, there's been a ongoing study committee throughout the past summer dealing with the issue of the cost of child care, because it is a huge problem. I mean, we have a lack of providers, the sheer cost alone. I mean, I've met with a number of child care providers within central Wisconsin, and they'll tell you flat out, we have waiting lists upwards of 2 to 3 years. And so if you're a young professional, a young family that's looking to start a family, I mean, you really have to be looking 3 years in advance, because, you know, if you want to get back to work, you're going to have someone to watch the kid. And if, you know, grandma and grandpa aren't nearby, well, it's going to be really tough to do. And so I think there are some changes that can be done within some of these, especially with like home daycare. I met with a provider back in September who was just running me through, you know, some of the different things that could be changed. And it's not about, you know, trying to lessen regulations and make it, you know, more dangerous and have some of these fly-by-night operators come in, but to really help the good actors out there to do an even better job and provide more opportunities for families to get relief. And I do think there will be an opportunity as we gear up into this next budget cycle to take a look and see if there are any tax incentives that we can give to employers, because I know there's a coalition of businesses right here in the Stevens Point area that are having these very same conversations right now, because they realize if they want to continue to be competitive and to continue to expand and grow and attract workers, well, they're going to have to get creative too and provide more avenues for things like childcare. So this is a huge issue. I suspect there's going to be a lot of appetite from both the left and the right to tackle this, because we're hearing it from a lot of folks.
Yeah. And I imagine that this is one of those topics you and I will be talking about the next couple of times we get together here. For now, I want to move on to another topic, and something that I kind of appreciated that you put note to, especially for people like myself that aren't normal. You know, I don't hunt on a regular basis or anything. I like fishing, but I've never really gotten into the hunting thing. But I know all my friends do. All the kids I went to school with out here did, of course. Hunting is a big part of the culture here in Wisconsin, just in the country, really. And you recently tweeted about mentoring hunts, and I'd like to hear more about that, because I haven't heard much about that before.
Yeah, so mentor hunts are really to try and help expand and grow participation within, you know, our great sporting heritage. And so it's the ability for, you know, individuals, especially younger individuals, to get acquainted with, you know, the sport of hunting and get out in the woods and learn how to do it safely, learn properly the safe ways, how to handle a firearm. And so it's really about providing more opportunities to get people engaged in the sport, because we have seen a decline in recent years. The number of individuals who are just choosing not to participate for one reason or another to go out in the woods and enjoy the great outdoors and hopefully, you know, get a big buck or get a doe to fill your freezer full of venison. And so, you know, it's one of those initiatives that us and the Sportsman Caucus have worked on over the last several years to expand these opportunities, and they've been very successful. Because I think anytime you can get younger individuals acquainted with a sport like hunting, chances are they're going to do it, and they're going to learn about it, they're going to learn to love it, and more importantly, they're going to do it safely. And that's the number one key thing, is that especially as we prepare for gun deer season, the opener's tomorrow, we want individuals to go out and enjoy the woods and have a great time, but we also want to make sure that they come home safely and enjoy their time.
Yeah, you know, even though I don't participate, I care about hunters. I care about the safety of it, and I enjoy even hearing from my friends and how they enjoyed them, you know, what they did out on their hunt and that kind of thing. I find it interesting, but I don't pretend to know that much about it or anything. And just even hearing that the numbers have gone down for hunting, that actually surprises me. And I don't say that very often. I would not have guessed that. Just in the body, in the bubble of people that I'm around, it still seems very popular. But I just, you know, while you were mentioning that, I look up the numbers, and you're right. They have been going down and stuff. So that's interesting. It's anything we can do to kind of help keep that alive and healthy, and of course safe, is, you know, not a bad thing. That's great. Another great thing, sir, that you do is, and I love talking with you about, is your On the Job series and doing this. And recently, while all of them have been impactful and meaningful, your most recent one, or at least I believe your most recent one, where you were working with Habitat for Humanity in Stevens Point, this may be your biggest job that you've been on yet, maybe most important one that you've done. Can you tell us a little bit about how that went?
Yeah, it was great. And so, you know, every Friday and Saturday, volunteers for the Habitat for Humanity here in central Wisconsin, you know, they've been working on a house on the north side of Stevens Point. And what's great, you know, families have to participate and volunteer, but you get all these different organizations that come out and, you know, help with the construction. So Stud Brothers Construction, they had reached out to me and said, hey, do you want to come out and work for it? I said, hey, you called the right guy. This is what I do. And so I should have asked, what exactly are we going to be doing? Because we hung drywall all day. And so, I mean, it was, you know, a lot of heavy lifting, tough work, but it was a lot of fun for a good cause. And afterwards, we went over to Final Score for a beer and a burger, and it was a great day and a great cause, and got to meet the future owner of the house, a great guy. I think he's got like 5 kids, so he was really excited to have us on scene and helping out, and it was really enjoyable.
Yeah, I can hear it in your voice too, sir. You know, it's one of those, you talk very highly. Any of your experiences that you've had, they've all been positive. And you've done a lot of great things being on the job. You've rode along with some of our officers. You've done a lot of things like that. But when it comes to this one had to hit the heart a little bit harder. It's putting up drywall. We've all done that. We've all, you know, I've worked, come from a construction background. But there's something different doing that. I worked with Habitat for Humanity about 10 years ago, something like that. And I can still remember everything we did on that project and how much it meant. We didn't have the family that was, we didn't even know who the family was that was going to get this house yet. But just knowing what we were putting up there, I'm just thinking about it right now, and it hits my heart hard. I have to imagine that having the family, the gentleman there and all of that, working with those people that you know volunteer on many houses, had to really mean a lot more. And did it give you some insight that maybe you didn't have beforehand when it comes to the work that they do for Habitat for Humanity?
Yeah, I mean, what I really enjoy about it, and what's so different when you get to do a job like that, like an actual construction versus, you know, being in the legislature where, you know, oftentimes our work, you know, it involves a lot of meetings with individuals, different groups. When we pass bills, there's nothing really that you get to hold on to at the end of the day, aside from maybe a pen that the governor used to sign a bill and turn into law. But what was great about this project is that, you know, when we got there, there was hardly any drywall up anywhere within the house. And by the time we were done in the several hours that we were there, I mean, we probably had 3/4 of the house, you know, ready to roll and drywalled and framed up. And, you know, it's just being able to see your progress in your work and then, you know, being able to take ownership in that and having the future homeowner there alongside there, seeing his face and being lit up with joy because he's actually hands-on helping build this future home for his family. And so I think it gives you a much better appreciation for what you have. I mean, it's a great experience. I would encourage anyone, and you don't need to be a construction expert or a handyman. I mean, they've got volunteers there that will walk you through every step of the process and be there as a guide and help. And that's what's really great about it. It's a team effort. And so I encourage anyone, if they're interested, any organization that's out there that wants to take part and help out, to reach out to Habitat for Humanity and see how you can get involved.
And as always, we want to check in. How, other than getting warm this weekend, anything fun planned?
Well, I would be up north right now getting ready for the opener of Gun Deer. And because normally I hunt opening weekend with my dad and a couple of his friends up in Lincoln County. But unfortunately, I'm not going to be going up this year because my dad has to go into the hospital and get a couple stents put in, some angioplasty done to unclog some arteries. So I think, fingers crossed, everything should go well for him. But, you know, we're going to take a pause this year and be praying for my dad to get through his procedure all right.
Sending him and your family all the positive vibes and healing vibes that we can. I really hope that goes well. Thank you for sharing that and wishing him the best. And yeah, you're right. You regroup next year, hit it hard and have some fun with it then. Ed, do appreciate the time as always, the transparent conversation you and I always have, sir. Really thank you for it. Looking forward to talking again next month.
Hey, thanks, James. And everyone have a great time on the woods. Get that big buck. Be sure to post and share pictures on our page. And also want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving.
You have a great Thanksgiving, sir. We'll talk again real soon.
Sounds great. Take care.
You too. Again, State Senator Patrick Teston joining us. He'll be back with us next month again. Right now, we're going to get out of the way and get to some commercials. We'll come back and we're going to talk to some people from the Nakusa Public Schools District. Looking forward to that. Coming up right here on Morning Magazine at WFHR.